Welcome to Whatever Works, our unique fortnightly podcast in which we talk about whatever works in our lives and in the lives of our community members. Find us at whateverworks.works. And why not join our community? Simply search for Whatever Works at MeWe.com and get stuck in.
I'm turning... You'll have to bear with me today. I'm like
What's
an old man.
What's the matter?
Oh, I know.
What have you done?
My back's gone, love.
Not again.
Do you know what I did? I started a gig yesterday. I was getting changed. I was in a local garden centre. How glorious and wonderful my life is. Getting dressed to be a Santa in a grotto. My bloody back went. And so now I've got extra realism to my Santa character, sort of walking around half buckled forwards, unable to step forward without pain in my back. It happens every so often. I'm a tall person with a lanky back, and every so often it goes, in inverted commas. You know that expression, all my back's gone. I get it, and I know I just have to walk around with a stick and have hot baths for a couple of days, and then I feel better. Hello.
Are you going to be able to get through the rest of your appointments?
Well, hopefully. I'm actually exactly halfway through my crazy season. I've done eight. Right. I've got another eight to go, possibly more, if there are any more come into the diary. Not a good time to do it, but I've got a day off tomorrow. My next gig's on Tuesday. A wonderful and very worthwhile gig at a children's hospice, which is really quite moving, which I'm doing on Tuesday. So my back can jolly well be better for that. Hey, we seem to have started the show. Hello, everybody.
Hello, everyone. One last question I wanted to ask you. Have you been annoyed with any brats so far that you've strangled them?
No. Do you know what? The kids have been generally good, actually. Yeah, once in a while you do get... actually, I had an instance when I had a little boy came in with the family, and the family included two quite tall, lanky, evidently teenagers who had no interest and stood around while the little boy got his present. And then the mother said to me, well, are you going to give these two a present? They've come to see you as well. And I was quite shocked. And so I sort of handed out these presents to a couple of kids who were taller than I am. Oh, dear. But no. I think in general, if kids don't believe in Santa, they don't get brought to see Santa. So it tends to be all right. I once had a child say, are you real? So I just said, well, are you real? And the child said, yes. I said, well, then I must be real, too. You know, and there was an end of it.
That's the whole performing arts thing is thinking quickly on your feet and knowing what to say in situations like that, which I would be terrible at. But well done to you.
Yeah, it is. There is a bit of that. Sometimes they throw a curveball at you, and you have to be ready with some sort of an answer.
Anyway, yes, we are here back again. Whatever works, we're here. It's Sunday, unusually, the 15th of December, so we're right in the middle of December. And I guess this is our festive episode, although we have got one just before New Year's Day, haven't we?
Okay, so we're not going to wait. So this is the last one before Christmas itself.
Yeah, it looks like it, doesn't
dear,
it?
Dear, I should have brought my sleigh bells with me. I haven't got them. Jingling of sleigh bells, please, Mr. Sound Effects Man.
Right, okay, so let's get on with it, shall we? Whateverworks.works is our website. Whateverworks MeWe Group is where we scoop up stuff from you to talk about on the show. AidenBell.com is where you'll find Aidan and book him up for something other than being Santa. TedSalmon.com is where you'll find me. And all the links to all the stuff I do. We've already kind of had our Christmas, by the way.
Right.
My sister and brother-in-law, who couldn't come up on the 25th, they decided to come up on last weekend. So me and my dad decided that we would just do Christmas last weekend. So we did. So I've already got a present or two. One of the presents my sister and brother-in-law bought me was... something you might have heard of, because you're a coffee person, Marley Buffalo Soldier coffee beans. And apparently it's something to do with Bob Marley's family. And they kind of plug into this fair trade thing, supporting local farmers. I have now opened it. And you know what I'm like with this coffee. It all tastes the same to me. It really does. These ones I checked on Amazon, and it's a kilo for 21 quid. Well, frankly, I might as well buy the £2.80 ones from Tesco, because it tastes the same to me. But I'm sure you would probably be able to tell the difference.
I might, but that doesn't necessarily mean I'll consider it to be any better than a cheaper one. I wonder what the difference is. Maybe you have to pass the coffee on the left-hand side or something while you're drinking it. I don't know. Never heard of it, sir. Sorry.
No. Anyway, during that weekend, it was quite funny because it was this storm, Dara.
Goodness, yes.
It was blowing a gale here in North Wales. I don't know what it was like for you, but I gave up in the static and went and stayed up at Dad's house for a couple of days. But it was fine because it worked in with when my sister and brother-in-law were here, so it worked well, actually. But when I got back, there was one section of gutter blown off. It's a mad climate, you know. Today, the sun is out. I've got the doors and windows open. It's like summer again. It's just bonkers, isn't it?
Welcome to global warming, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I sort of managed to miss it. I had the craziest work weekend for Santa I think I've ever had. I went down to Southampton on the Friday and did a long gig there at the university and then drove that night back home and up early the next morning for two gigs locally to me in Hertfordshire. Then straight up to Lincoln, where I spent the night and then did a gig all day in Lincoln on the Sunday. And I think the storm basically hit me while I was in my hotel in Lincoln, which was quite convenient. I had a bit of a noisy night listening to it outside, but my drives were good. The car looked after me very well. Incidentally, I have to say, that car, have I mentioned I got a new car, by the way? I must just put in a shout out for that car, my Polestar 2 that I bought secondhand a while back. I'm sure people remember. It's flawless. I can't find a single negative to say about it. It's the best car I've ever driven, never mind the best car I've ever owned. I couldn't be happier with it. So the Chariot has been looking after me well in these hectic weather times and lots of gigs here and there.
Flawless, eh?
Yes,
flawless.
Flawless.
Is there a copy machine in there?
Do you know what? The Flintstones had flawless cars, didn't they? Because they ran. oh, dear me. Let's move on,
indeed.
Yes.
That's very good. Yeah, well done. I'm glad you are pleased with your car. My dad is very pleased with his, you know, I just said that we had Christmas already.
That's right.
He's very pleased with his Sony wireless TV speaker. It's really nice and he's got it next to him now and he's absolutely happy as Larry. And the new one does sound better. It's more bassy than the old one. USB-C instead of micro USB. Very nice. I'll put a link in the show notes because it was £149. I was waiting for it to be reduced, but it never did. But anyway, the news is that the updated version is nicer, better, more polished. It's got a nicer handle on it as well. It's just an update, which is really nice.
I'm still jealous and I'm still tempted, but I have to say I brought you such merriment on the last show with those pictures of my Heath Robinson setup with cardboard and blue tack and loudspeakers behind my mum's back on her couch in the living room. I think I'd better stick with that.
Why not, indeed?
Yeah, I've got one that I dithered with putting this later in the show in room 101, but then I realised it's nothing but personal preference and I really have no right to put it in room 101. It's just a private whinge. I took my mother last week to, before the whole Christmas madness began, to Kew Gardens. We went to see the Christmas lights at Kew. You know, they have this display where you walk. It's about 2 kilometres altogether. I push my mum in her wheelchair and you go around and they have lots and lots of lights, you know, some huge displays, some little tiny minimal stuff. And it's all very interesting and very well done and most enjoyable, and the weather was kind to us. But what I wanted to say was, you couldn't move for people taking photographs and taking video and getting out their phones and filming it. No one was actually enjoying the moment and looking at the lights with their own eyes. Everybody was taking photographs of everything. We just live in this society now where everything must be photographed to within an inch of its life. And it's just such a shame. I always remember that picture of, I think it was Hillary Clinton back a few years ago, giving a speech. And a lovely picture of the crowd. Everyone was looking away from Hillary Clinton, holding up their phones, taking selfies of themselves with her in the background. And you just think, can't people just put their bloody phone down for 5 minutes and enjoy the world? And, you know, I wheeled my mother around and didn't get my phone out once, and we had a wonderful time and we enjoyed the lights, and now we have our own photographs in our memories, which I think are much more important than the rubbish people take with their phones. But as I say, it's personal preference. I know each to their own, as I always preach. So there we are. It's just my whinge.
And in 100 years, no one will see them anyway. The what I was going to say was that on that very topic, I was watching this video on YouTube yesterday of some dreadful weather in a faraway country.
Yes.
And people were doing the same. They were doing selfies in front of these crashing waves and landslides that were coming towards them and staying there doing it until the very, very last minute instead of legging it as fast as they could. They just wanted to have the footage to presumably put online or whatever.
Or instead of simply absorbing the moment and being present and enjoying it. I always remember when, you know, I still am a huge wildlife fan. And in years gone by, I was lucky enough to go on some wonderful holidays and take lovely pictures of animals, which you've very kindly commented on in the past, Ted. But I always remember being told and trying to take the adage with me, don't look through the camera the whole time. Take your pictures of the wildlife and then put the camera down and enjoy the reality for a while. And I think that's what people are missing these days. Anyway, that's enough of my whinge. Let's move on before everybody switches off. Jen Lowe brings us the One Fire rechargeable lamp.
One Fire, a confidence-inspiring yes. company name, isn't
a lamp
it?
Called One Fire. Yeah. Jen says, I bought this portable lamp. It's perfect for the bedside. It comes on dim and is so easy to turn off with just a swipe of the base. No need to hunt for the button. It then comes on again dimly the next morning. It's bright enough for reading and it has a long battery life. The only thing was that I had to buy an adapter as it's not USB-C.
Boo.
But it was worth every penny, she says, of the 13.59... blah, 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 I'll say that again. But worth every penny of the £13.59 price. I confused myself because I was thinking ahead there to say, I've got this very lamp myself, Jen, and I concur with everything you've said. I bought this for my mother a couple of years ago and we keep it in the car because my mother has eyesight difficulties and when we go into restaurants and she can't read the menu because it's so dark, I pop out to the car and bring this light in for her. It's never started a fire. And I concur with everything Jen says. It goes from dim to high and you can adjust it very easily. And an excellent purchase. Well found, Jen.
I wonder how long the battery lasts. It's got a 3,600 milliamp hour battery, but I don't suppose either you or Jen have tested that to its nth degree. No.
All I can say is I've never had it sort of go off on my mother in the middle and say, oh dear, the battery's gone flat. You know, every now and again I think, oh, I better charge the battery, and it's kept going for us. So,
yeah, very nice indeed. Very nice indeed. Do you remember those Chili's water bottle thingies that I was banging on about?
Oh, I do. Yes.
I was sent one by Motorola as a freebie, and I decided to get a couple of these for my sister and brother-in-law because they've got use for them for their Christmas presents. Mm-hmm. And they really liked them. However, they don't seem the same as my Motorola one. I think that when they came out of the box and they opened them, they felt like they were kind of plasticky, whereas my Motorola one is clearly aluminium. It's metal, it's cold to the touch. But maybe, perhaps, this is a plastic coating on the bottles in these Chili ones, and they underneath it is aluminium. I don't know. I'm not really sure. But on the face of it, they don't seem as though they're as well made as my Motorola one. I have no idea who made the one for Motorola or how much they cost, if they're better versions, but anyway, they were really pleased with them. They do 24 hours cold and 12 hours hot. And I've tested that with my Moto one, and that does work really well. They're £24 each for the 500ml version, but you can also get bigger ones and smaller ones, I think. And if you're not fussy about the colour, there's always certain colours on special offer. So you don't ever pay £24 if you've got a brain. I don't know. They seem to be just different somehow.
Well, I assume if they're thermos, they've probably got a glass container on the inside and an air seal, and you're feeling the plastic on the outside.
No, there's no glass involved.
There's no glass involved. So have we now reached a point? Well, somebody will tell us, Chris Kelly, whether we now have water bottle...
Hello, Chris.
Whether we now have thermoses, thermosi, whatever the plural is, that don't require a vacuum. Do we have sufficiently thermal protective materials that we can now make thermos flasks without a vacuum? Question mark? Dot, dot, dot?
Yeah, maybe it's steel. Steel? Aluminium?
Yeah, but steel, the heat would sink through steel in seconds.
Yeah. I wonder what the science is.
Is that a jingle? I wonder what the science is. Here, I bring you one. I bring you the Kazos Portable Nebulizer. Now, yeah. What is nebulizing, you may ask? Well, I also did when I was looking this up, and I discovered, you know, these chintzy things that you can get in some garden centres have them, or sometimes you have them in the corner of a massage parlour, or spiritual people have them, that sort of waft what looks like steam, a sort of wafty, smoke-like. Usually you have water, and you have a little trickling waft of water and this sort of smoke substance on the top, a bit like dry ice. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do. I know nebulizers.
Yeah, this is a fine mist. I mean, I had to learn that it's not steam, it's a mist, and therefore it can continue to contain whatever's in the water. Big horse, John Wayne. I'm using it for my voice, darling. I'm using it to put a very fine saline solution down the back of my gob to help protect my voice. If it was steam, the salt would stay in the water and all I'd get was pure steam. But because it's nebulizing, I'm getting a fine mist containing the saline solution. So I wasn't really sure whether it was going to be any good or not, but I watched some videos. I'm sorry, Ted. I watched some YouTube videos about it. And I decided this was worth a punt. And I'm very glad I got one, because at $24.99, it's a cute little unit that you can put just pure water in it if you want to. But I bought, as recommended for singers, I bought a saline solution, which was another £7.19 for, I forget now, I think it was 20 pieces. Basically, you put the salt solution in, you turn it on, you put it in your gob, and you just breathe normally, and you're breathing in this nebulized, salty mist, which is very good for the voice. And I think it has been working, because I do tend to have voice troubles these days. The older I get, the less I'm able to sort of go around going, "Ho, ho, ho, I'm Santa!" Because it's all coming from the wrong part of the throat. But it's kept me going, and I haven't had any voice problems this year, and I think I do put it down to the Kazos Portable Nebulizer. If anyone needs one, there it is.
And you can get a refill pack for £8.
Yes, this is, as I say, I mean, you can just put water. I think you can put water in and out of the tap if you want, though they recommend sterile water to keep it clean and safe. Or if you want to, as I'm doing, you use a saline. I think it's 0.9% salt solution.
Yeah, that's the one that's £8. Yeah. £8 for 20 thingies.
I see. I've got £7.19 here in my notes. That's why I didn't catch on. Yeah, okay. So you get 20 of them for £7.19. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, the principle of the kind of nebulizing thing we used to use with people that couldn't work Ventolin inhalers.
Oh, okay.
So you'd have this kind of thingy. You'd spray the Ventolin inside this breathing chamber, and then people could just breathe it in normally, instead of trying to time it so that the squirt went down there to their lungs. So, yes, I'm familiar with those.
Splendid.
Right. I got a Pixel Watch 3 since the last show. Mm-hmm. No, in fact, I think it was before the last show. But anyway, and the thing about Pixel Watch 3s are the 45mm version. I won't get too technical, but the point is that it's a newish watch, a newish size, and nobody yet was making straps for them, which is really annoying, because with the old ones and the old size, there was millions of them all over Amazon. Anyway, I found this one called the Everact 5-Pack Watch Strap. You get 5 in a pack, not that I needed 5, but you get 5 different colours. So they're all kind of pastely shades, which is quite nice. And they're elasticated and adjustable. And they're $15.99 for the 5, so about £3 each. And, just a quick recommendation, really. Because they're really, as I say, it's hard to find them. And those ones seem to be half decently made. And you get a bunch of colours for, you know, £3 a piece. So the Everact watch straps for the Pixel Watch 3 45mm.
I'd like to take two things in here. First of all, what a crazy world we live in. No wonder there's so much waste in the world. I mean, nobody but an octopus is going to need 5 watch straps. So why can you not just choose your colour and buy one?
Yeah.
But point two, we have to stop and take this in. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ted Salmon is wearing a watch. This is news. This is noteworthy here. And are you comfortable? Because, I mean, you've often preached on this show and others that you're not a watch wearer and you feel uncomfortable with the watch and you've never been able to get into it. Has that changed then? Is old age bringing you into the watch world?
I have tried really hard with these smartwatches since it's become part of my smart kind of lifestyle. And
yeah,
I think it started, it kicked off hugely when I got that diagnosis of diabetes type 2. Mm-hmm. And I was out there doing my steps all the time, much more than I do now. And then I started wearing the watch because I was interested in getting the data about the steps and all the rest of it.
Yes.
And I kind of made myself. Then I moved from Samsung to Pixel and blah, blah, blah. The thing about the Pixel watch, though, the previous one, is that it was just dainty and small and very feminine, and I'll get into trouble for that. And this new Pixel watch is bigger and it's better. It's more like a Samsung.
It's a man's watch.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I'm such a beef mountain.
Never heard that one before. You should be wearing my watch. I mean, I'm still wearing and loving and enjoying thoroughly my Withings smartwatch, which is just colossal. I mean,
right? Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, there it is. There's some straps seeping out, and in time, going back to your previous point, in time you will be to buy one, but it's just at the moment no one seems to be doing it yet.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. What else? I have a quick feedback, as with your father and the Sony television dingsbum, I want to just quickly feedback on I Need Specs, the company that I talked about in the last show, and I believe you were very excited and may by now have ordered glasses from them. If you remember, I had my Santa fake glasses reglazed with my actual reading prescription for the astonishing sum of only £23 plus £6 delivery. And I just wanted to say they have been fantastic. I've done 8 gigs with them so far, and they've been invaluable during those gigging days, partly because I spend a lot of time waiting when as a Santa, and I just get the phone out and I can play with my phone because I can read it through my Santa glasses. It's got nothing to do with the characterization. But they're working. They're standing the test of real world use, and I continue to be quite amazed and aghast at that incredibly cheap price for actually cutting and putting lenses into a pre-existing pair of glasses for such a great price. So once again, a shout out for I Need Specs, spelt S-P-E-X.
Excellent. I haven't done that yet, but I will, because it's really well priced, isn't it? It's hard not to.
Oh, that should have been a jingle, really, shouldn't it? But never mind, go on.
Right, another Christmas gift that came in last weekend, which someone gave to someone else, not me, sadly, was the... You remember we were talking about Raymond a while ago? We didn't know what it was. I think it was Elizabeth.
Oh, that's
in America.
Right. Yes, indeed. Yes.
Yeah. Well, my dad got for my sister and brother-in-law these noodle bowls, Raymond stroke noodle bowls, and they really are absolutely lovely. I quite fancy get one for myself now. They're made of ceramic, so they're microwave oven and microwave oven safe and everything. Mm-hmm. And you basically can use them for whatever you like. They're about 7 inches across, 5 inches deep. They've got a lid, and the kit comes with a Raymond spoon, which is like a, you know, spoon you might see in a Chinese restaurant, I guess, and a set of chopsticks, which looked as though they were really nice chopsticks. Each of these things, I mean, you can put what you like in them, really, but, you know, they're designed for kind of Far Eastern-y type food. And they're $17.99 each one. And my sister and brother-in-law, both of them, when they opened them up, they were absolutely delighted. It was the best present. It felt like it was the best surprise present they'd ever had. I quite fancy one for myself, really, because they're just really, really nice. Can you see them?
I can, and they are very nice. We all have, you know, a favourite fork or a favourite plate or whatever it is. I have a bowl that I tend to eat all my bowl-requiring foods out of, and it's just a boring see-through Pyrex bowl, nothing exciting at all. So I look at this and think, hey, I should treat myself and get something a bit more attractive to replace my boring bowl. Yes, very nice, Ted, indeed.
So they were very pleased with them. Anyway, so there you go. That was our Christmas done.
And now we can have a jingle.
I wonder who bought it.
Talking of Christmas, this snug rug in pink looks very, very Christmassy. Someone's bought this, so thank you for that, from Amazon. It's a kind of, it says it's a 270 GSM. What's GSM? Sherpa fleece throw blanket, and it's 50 inches by 70 inches. And basically, you can just do what you like with it. You wrap yourself in it. But it just looks lovely. It looks soft and comfortable. You can machine wash it. It's got anti-pilling on both sides, whatever that means. And it's also available in a bunch of colours, loads and loads of different colours. But I think the person who bought this has bought the right one. Girly as it might be, perhaps it was a girl. It's this kind of pink colour. And I looked through all the colours and I thought, yeah, that's the nicest one. So well done. But, you know, some of these evenings before the last 24, 48 hours have been really cold in my static. And that's just the kind of thing. Wrap yourself in around this thing around you, watch the telly, or put it over your knees if you're called Hazel. And don't spend any money on heating. $18.99, less a 5% voucher at the moment. The Snug Rug, do you fancy one of those?
Yeah, it's available in 12 different colours. I'm just thinking, if the Meat Mountain is going to buy himself one, don't make it pink, Ted. But there's some very attractive darker colours, slate grey, chocolate, navy blue. Yeah. This does look right. Incidentally, GSM is normally how you measure paper. You know, 80 GSM or card would be 270 GSM would be quite a good thick card. So I don't quite know how they relate that to a blanket. Maybe I didn't know it was used for blankets as well as paper and card. But there you go. You live and learn.
Yeah. Anyway, there you go. Thank you to whoever bought that, because that's a good idea, apart from sending me a few pennies. If you want to help me with my little Amazon affiliate thingy, then do your Amazon shopping via my Amazon link, which is tinyurl.com/AmazonTedUK, and I get a few pennies. I don't know who's bought what, but I do know what's been bought. So your secret is safe, but I do know what's been bought, which is why we can have I Wonder Who Bought It. And thank you to everyone that uses my link.
Still using and still using.
I am still using my Tefal Easy Fry Precision 2-in-1 Digital Air Fryer and Grill, which I remember waxing lyrical about when I got it in January 2023. So it's been stood the test of time. It's a 4.2-litre air fryer. It has 8 programmes, including dehydrator, but... In classic Aidan Bell style, I just use one. I use it out of the box. I have never experimented. I've never tried out the different temperatures or the different settings. I found it comes out of the box. It gives you 200 degrees heat and you can set the timer. And I don't use it that often to really feel the need to experiment. You know, I cook chicken in it, I cook chips in it, I cook fish fingers in it, I cook some vegetables in it. I don't use it fish quite a bit. I don't use it enough. I just find you put it in, you set it for the timing, either the timing that's been recommended or that use has taught you is going to be about right, and like a microwave, and you cook it. And if it's not quite enough, you cook it a bit more. And that's how I use it. I regret very much indeed that I bought the bloody digital touch control version and not the good old-fashioned analog dial version. That is particularly because I don't do anything with it and all I do is change the cooking time. And the cooking time comes on at a preset 30 minutes. So whenever I use it, I have to put my finger on the touch button and wait till it's run down to roughly 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes, which is the range in which I generally tend to cook. I don't think I've cooked anything for longer than about 12 minutes ever. So that's a huge annoyance, but that is my bad. That's not the air fryer's fault. I just picked the wrong model. I wish I'd got the simple one with the analog dial. You just turn like an egg timer. That would have been much better for me. But I still love it. Nevertheless, I think it's wonderful. I use it whenever possible. It's paid for itself. Absolutely. It takes less than half the cooking time of the oven. Never mind the time it takes an oven to heat up before that. And it uses less than half the electricity that an oven does. So it really is a win-win-win all round. And the food is healthier because the fats and the oils drain away and they're not in the food when you take it out and eat it. And also, I like air-fried food. Air-fried food is sort of crisper and slightly drier and nicer, I think, than what comes out of the oven, personally, for my taste.
I've never had anything out of an air fryer.
Oh, try it, Ted.
I don't know anyone that's got one.
Stuff like breaded fish or breaded chicken or chips as well, stuff like that comes out beautifully from an air fryer, really wonderfully and very quickly.
Yeah.
There we are. Perhaps. So I'm still using it. That's it.
Yeah, that's good. I'm just thinking aloud now.
You're trying to decide whether to buy an air fryer as a late Christmas present for yourself.
Well, I just wonder if I'd use it, a bit like you. My soup maker, I'm the same as you with my soup maker. I only ever do one thing with it. It's got 200 different programs, and I only ever use one on it.
Oh, I'm so pleased. It's not just me.
Right, I'm still using my Nuentor weather station, which I brought to Whatever Works 181 in March 23. And, it sits there. And again, probably I'm guilty of another Aidan Bellism, which is it sits there. And I probably don't use half the stuff I could be using on it. But the since March 23, how long is that? Nearly 2 years. The remote thingy that's underneath the static is still there. I've not changed the batteries, not once. So they've lasted the whole time. And this thing is shining bright as you like underneath the television all the time. It tells you the temperature inside, the temperature outside, the humidity, the likely forthcoming conditions. It's got a calendar and a clock and blah blah blah. You know, the usual things you get with a weather station. But anyway, the point is it's still in use all the time, hasn't gone wrong. I recommend it. It's really nice, and at the moment it's £50 with a 10% voucher, but I didn't pay that much. I think I paid about £30 for it when I bought it, but that was £36 I've just checked. So they obviously hiked the price of it up, but it's actually really a really nice one.
I remember a lot longer ago than 23. I mean, when I first joined the show, so sort of 18, 19. I remember being very keen on weather stations and bringing one very similar to this onto the show and being really excited about it. And I also remember we discussed 6 months further down the line, I just wasn't looking at it. I realised that it was there on the wall and I never once glanced at it. I didn't seem to care what the temperature was or the humidity was. So it's a shame. I stopped using mine because I simply wasn't using it.
Yeah, I do get that. And if I didn't live in the situation I live, where I'm very exposed to extremes of weather, I probably wouldn't either. If I lived in a bricks and mortar house, or even a wooden house, I would no doubt not ever bother with it.
Yeah.
I know that sometimes my dad has no idea the fact that it's raining outside, and I come in and I say, it's lagging down with rain, isn't it? And he says, is it? And he looks outside, and you know, when you live in a solid house, it's just different. Anyway, yeah,
I mean, I seem to remember a cartoon I once saw about somebody getting frustrated with their Google and trying to ask if it's going to rain and not getting the right answer, and somebody else says, why don't you just look through the window?
Yes, exactly. Cheapest chips, right. So this is another present. It was a stocking filler for my sister. The wooden mini furniture phone holder. This is a little fun thing, and it was quite good actually. We had a lot of fun at the Christmas dinner table putting it together. It's a little bunch of bits of wood that when you put them together they form a chair, and on the seat of the chair it's got three slots, and you can then balance you know, whatever you want on it, but typically a mobile phone on it if it sits on your desk, and you've got a nice little wooden bit of furniture because it looks a bit nice. We did have some trouble putting it together, and we all had a go, and they were really tight fitting, all the bits of wood, so I'm not sure it was made very well and to much precision, but it was the idea that counted, and we did it in the end. But yes, with a use of a mallet.
And the cheapest chips price?
Oh, it's a fiver. Yeah, well, it was. What's it now?
It still is.
Yeah, right. Okay, £5.
You see, you have the advantage on not only me, but everyone listening to the show as well. You've already had Christmas. It's the 15th of December, and you're doing your post-Christmas debrief.
I should have waited. Oh, dear.
Yeah, I tell you what I bring you for cheapest chips. Only just, though, by 2p at £9.98, I bring you Buy Kitchen, it's called. Air fryer parchment paper liners, 50 of them. It took me 2 years to discover these. I'd never heard of them before I've came across them the other day. But better late than never. They are basically thin, a bit like, you know, used to a coffee, old-fashioned coffee filter machines. You'd have a paper filter you'd pop in the machine. Yes. Well, a bit like that for air fryers. It's a paper piece that's moulded into the shape of the air fryer that you pop in the bottom of the air fryer. So what it basically does is it collects all the crap and all the fat and all the nastiness when you cook and saves you having to clean the air fryer because you just chuck it away. What they apparently want you to do is put it... An air fryer, in case you don't know, generally most air fryers will about two-thirds of the way down the tray, there'll be a rim, and on that rim sits a grid, a tray, which you put your food on, and so the fats will drip through that tray drip through that grid into the tray below. Apparently what these paper liners seem to want you to do is to put the liner on top of the grid and put the food directly into the liner. That seems a bit daft to me because it's an air fryer and you're stopping the air circulation. So unless anybody can correct me, Chris Kelly, I think what I'm tending to do is to put the thing at the bottom of the air fryer on the floor of the tray and then put the rack in on the top, so it works exactly as an air fryer normally would without the thing, but the thing is underneath to collect the rubbish. Amen.
But then you'll have to wash the grid, won't you?
Yeah, the grid needs to be washed, but not the whole air fryer. I mean, I found, looking after the air fryer for 2 years, that the grid can go straight into the dishwasher, so that's quite easy. The actual tray itself can also go in the dishwasher if you want to, but it's more of a bugger to clean, so I'm finding that's the way to do it. That's the way to do it! To put the paper underneath at the bottom.
How much was your air fryer?
I will have a look. It's in the show notes above. It was 91.
Yeah.
So I think it's 2 years old now, so it certainly will have paid for itself by now and is continuing to save us money. So it's like anything, you have to have it for a while in order for it to start saving money.
Yeah, what I'm just thinking is that it's an expensive experiment to pay 90-odd quid out and then find I don't use it. Do you see what I mean?
Buy a second-hand one. Buy a second-hand one.
Or a cheaper one. I'm sure you wouldn't have bought the cheapest one. Right, my other cheapest chips, talking of cheap, is the...
a low blow, sir, but carry on.
Yes. Right, after decades of use, my dad's mantle clock gave up the ghost. The mechanism just broke. It's one of these things that you have on a mantelpiece, what old people have on mantelpieces, which has got the clock mechanism pushes out of this kind of revolting, horribly old china thingy. it's really old people-ish. Anyway, laying that aside, he wanted to replace the clock because it had broken.
Clock stopped, never to go again. Sorry, carry on.
Yes. What we did in the end, the problem was that we couldn't get hold of the hands to change the time. So every time the clocks changed, went forward or back, we had to take the battery out, then wait 24 hours for it to go round and put the battery back in at the right time.
And if you get a phone call at the wrong moment, it's like, no, I've just missed it.
Yeah. Anyway, so I went on to Amazon, and sure enough, for £9, we've got this mini quartz clockings insert made by this company called Hill Home. I got it in. I took some advice from people in the MeWe group, and we were talking about it, and this one works just perfectly. It fits in snug as a bug in a rug, and it works really well. There is a counterpart to this story, though, about Arkwright's Corner Store, which is very discouraging. There's a little guy who runs a local shop alleging to be able to fix clocks. Now, Dad drove over to this place and gave it to him and said to him what the problem was. He had it for 3 weeks, and in the end, he basically gave up. He said that these things you can't get inserts for, you can't repair them, you can't do anything else. So he told my dad, sorry, he couldn't help him. You can't get this stuff anymore. Straight onto Amazon, as I said earlier, £9, job done. You know, you'd like to think that bloke who's specialising in, repairing clocks and stuff, he would be able to do it, but obviously not. And that sadly is what possibly gives the Arkwrights of the world a bad name.
I mean, I suppose his argument would be, oh, well, this is a cheap, nasty plastic thing from Amazon and I don't deal in such rubbish. But nevertheless, if he can't sell you a proper, in inverted commas, clock, then he should at least be able to say, well, there is the option of getting one from Amazon.
Yeah.
I want one, I want one, I want one.
I want one of those.
What do you want then, Mr. Salmon? Well, as if you haven't had enough already. You've just had Christmas, but what do you still want?
Well, I do wish that I'd had this for Christmas, because I'd have quite a lot of fun, good fun with it. You remember Meccano?
Well, I do, of course.
There's this thing that I've discovered, not on the high street. We've highlighted this this website before, because they specialise in kind of quirky things that you don't get on the high street. This is a very Meccano looking, though not named, bunch of stuff you can make. This one is a Land Rover, but I also found a VW Caravanette, and they obviously make loads of these different things, and you just basically it's basically a kid's toy, I suppose. You a bit like Lego Meccano, you can just put the thing together, and it's just a bit of fun doing so. Give a screwdriver. It looks very retro when you put it together. You can see the picture there of it in a finished state. Looks very retro, lots of fun, kids toy, adult toy, retro toy, and I was surprised that it's only £32. Now, when you see some of the and the VW Caravanette's only £25. When you see some of the prices of these Lego things now, they're horrendous prices, really expensive, and yet this is nice and cheap. And I'm sure, you know, give your son a screwdriver, or daughter, I should say, a screwdriver and a kit like this, send them away and they'll be quiet for hours.
I think so. I mean, it is Meccano, isn't it? Let's be honest. Basically, they've reinvented Meccano in some clever way without getting sued for it. But it looks great. And it's a shame. You know, I've had doing my Santa work, a lot of kids are asking for Lego. Lego is huge at the moment. I've never in my entire career as a Santa, I think, had anyone ask for Meccano. That's a shame, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Perhaps you can't buy it anymore.
I had the weirdest one ever, by the way, yesterday. A little girl, I don't know, she was 4 or 5. What do you want for Christmas? A bag of rain.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just laughed and said, well, I'll see what I can do.
That's very inventive.
A bag of rain. I mean, yeah. Well, that's easy for a mum, isn't it? Just stand outside with a Sainsbury's bag.
unless there's something called rain that we're too old to know what it means.
I think she must have done something at school. She must have had some lesson that involved it. And she got, I don't know. I just said, OK, I'll see what I can do. A bag of rain. But anyway, no, much better than a bag of rain. The Land Rover metal construction kit. Yes, I think I want one too, Ted.
Good.
Whatever.
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 Worked.
I have to put my hand up and admit I've not done my homework, Ted. I'm afraid I've been so busy running around the world being Santa, I haven't gone through to this whatever worked.
No
and
worries.
I can't
no
tell
worries.
You. So I'll leave this one in your court and slap my wrists. Ow!
Yeah. I'll do that. The next show that the pair of us were on after the one we did last time was September 2018, and it's show 66. And I brought to the show the potato ricer. Now it's interesting because Chris Kelly called in since the last show, called in for coffee to see me here, and we had a nice chat for a couple of hours. And we had a nice, you know, we had a nice time together. But the point is that this topic happened to come up. We started talking about a potato ricer. Now, if you're going to make mashed potato, traditionally, you kind of get this plastic or metal thing and you just put it on the side and you squish it and squash it and lean down on it, put your weight on it and squash the potatoes. This thing is like a cheese grater almost, and it opens up and you as I said, we put it on the show before, we explained what it was back then, but in case anyone didn't hear it, you basically squeeze the potato through this grid of holes, and it's absolutely delightful. Chris and I both admitted, rather both agreed, that whenever we've used this thing, everyone is really, really impressed. It's delighted. It all comes out like little strands of potato. Then you put it on top of a cottage pie or something and put some cheese on it. And it's just delightful. It's a really, really nice way of squishing potatoes. You remember when we spoke about it?
Well, I'm glad to say I can take part in this conversation because, yes, I bought one subsequently and I love it and I'm still using it. It's fantastic. And you're quite right. I absolutely adore it. It's kind of like magic with potatoes. I also remember I said the stupidest thing I've ever said on the show in this episode because you told me about this. And when you'd finished explaining it, I said, surely you must have to be really strong to be able to press a fresh potato through the thing. And you had to say, look, you dud, Satan, you cook the potato first.
I've forgotten all about that. You're right. I remember that.
But no, I totally agree. If you do cook them first, it is. It's not difficult to use. You do get the most wonderful sort of potato spaghetti. Yeah. But then you can, of course, then go the next stage, which I do, which is making beautiful mashed potato. I mean, it's a wonderful way to mash potatoes, to make mashed potato. So, I can join you. I can join forces with you and say that one really was a fantastic call. And thank you, because it's one of my favourite kitchen utensils that I still use.
Oh, there's looking at that stuff from show 66, there's also those things that Jen was talking about earlier, the USB-C to micro USB adapters. And I've forgotten about those. Yeah, I've got some of these. And that's obviously what she meant and she was using. So in one end, you put your micro USB and the other end is a USB-C. I'll put a link in the show notes to those because they are very handy. And less handy than they used to be. But I think that's what she meant.
And so that I've not completely wrecked this item by paying no attention, I do notice on the fly that Paul Kitchen fed back on varifocal glasses, which puts me in mind to say how much I love my current varifocals and how, again, we live in a world where you have to get used to things. If you remember, I bought varifocal glasses about 2 years ago, hated them passionately, sent them back, tried again a year later, and I love them. So it's a weird old world, isn't it?
Varifocal glasses are almost as ubiquitous on this show as coffee.
And Bluetooth speakers. Gareth Williams would like to banish into room 101 Amazon with an S? Amazon with a Z delivery drivers in December.
Z?
Amazon delivery drivers in December. 11 months of the year, says Gareth. It's not too much of an issue. They even ring the bell and hand you over your deliveries. Not so in December. At best, it's knock and run. But as the month draws on, it gets much worse. So far, we've had them left on the path, under the window, by the door, by the bins, in the bins, and all without even a knock or a shout. Just today, I had one chucked into the front garden while he was delivering another parcel to next door. This week, the only way I know that parcels have been delivered is when the app alerts me of a completed delivery. I don't care if they have seasonal staffing issues, he says. Service should be maintained. I totally agree, Gareth. I remember the conversation and I remember saying that, unfortunately, if you've got a behemoth like Amazon, one of the biggest companies on the planet, you're not going to get a universal service. I personally have never had terrible service. I've never had the greatest service from Amazon, but I'm quite comfortable. And there were other people popping in saying, yes, my service is good, my service is bad. I guess it just depends where you live and how the luck of the draw hits you. I think there could be some baseline rules that Amazon people should stick to, such as don't just throw the parcel in the vague direction of the property, but actually make an effort to deliver it properly. Yeah.
We've had, for the last 5, 6, 7 years now, we decided to put a box outside the front door, which has got parcels written on it. And they just use that all the time now. And in all of those years, no one has ever come up and nicked anything. Because that was my fear, was that you put a... But to be fair, it is behind a kind of hedge thingy. So you'd have to look very carefully from the road to be able to see it.
Yeah.
But not one thing has ever been nicked. And the Amazon drivers here always put it in there. In actual fact, It's the couriers that tend to be the worst ones. I think I said on the show before, DHL once brought a £1,000 phone from a PR company that wanted me to review it, and they just left it on the doorstep. So Amazon ones here seem to be better. Yeah.
I remember during COVID, I instigated such a box and really quite successfully trained all of them, the DHLs and the DPSs and all of Amazon, the Royal Mail as well, and everybody left them in there. I should have kept that going. I think I was foolish to withdraw that box when COVID passed, because it was quite a useful system. And again, it was slightly round the corner, so you couldn't see it from the roadside and instantly think, oh, things to be stolen. Yeah, it depends where you live and who you get. I don't think there's ever going to be universality about it at all.
No, but it could be very true, as Gareth says, it's worse in December because they're probably under a huge amount of pressure.
Yes.
And so they've got to rush and run around. Now, have you ever had a Krispy Kreme donut?
I like Krispy Kreme donuts on the very, very rare occasion when I eat one, maybe once a year, yes.
I've never tasted one, but Matthew Jones has, and he's quite partial. I just don't understand, he says, how this brand can survive, let alone be popular. I've tried them, and yes, they are delicious, but are they that delicious that I'd pay £3 to £4 for one single donut when, in the same shop, in his case Asda, he can buy a tray of 12 for £3. So for the price of one Krispy Kreme donut, you get 12. and the Asda ones are baked on the premises. He wants to put room one at a Krispy Kreme donuts into room 101 because it's the height of brand pretentiousness. It clearly can't possibly cost this much to produce them because Asda are doing them for a quarter of the price. So naughty, naughty Krispy Kreme donuts.
Really? What about Adidas trainers? When you can buy a pair of trainers in George in Tesco for a tenth of the price. I mean, I just think you pay for a name.
So exactly. That's his point.
Yeah, but then you'd have to put so many companies into Room 101. All successful companies that overcharge because they have a name would have to go into Room 101.
But how many of them are 12 to 1? So could you buy an Adidas pair of trainers and then buy one for 1/12 of the price from...
Yeah, but you see, maybe I've got my devil's advocate hat on today, but I would vouch that the Asda 12 for 3 donuts do not taste anything like as nice as the Krispy Kreme donuts, which really do taste delicious. So, again, it's each to their own. I'm sorry, I say it every show. I mean, it just depends what your taste is.
I'm not qualified to comment on that. I've never had an Asda donut or a Krispy Kreme donut. The only donuts I've ever had in my life have been the old-fashioned ones that are covered in sugar and got jam in them.
I used to eat Dunkin' Donuts a lifetime ago. I nearly did a Santa gig last year for Krispy Kreme and it got pulled, which was such a shame. I was looking forward to eating Krispy Kreme donuts and coming home with a free box of them. But then the gig didn't happen. Never mind.
Yeah, perhaps I should try and get one. I'll see if I can find one.
What, a gig?
No. A Krispy Kreme donut. Just to say that I've tasted one.
You'd make a fabulous Santa, Ted, but let's not go there. You know what I want to put in Room 101? Vox Pops. Standing on the street asking passers-by what they think of something. I know you're not a watcher of television, and that's fine. I respect that. You tend to do your watching through streaming. I do like live TV. I watch a lot of... Particularly, I watch news programmes and I listen to the news on the radio. It's just my thing. And I'm impressed generally by the professionalism of the presenters. And when I'm watching news or listening to news or that sort of informative programme, I want the information to be presented professionally by professional presenters. I don't want to have to sit through members of the public having a microphone stuffed in their face and being asked what they think. OK, sometimes you get an intelligent member of the public who might say something worth hearing, but you know, that's 1 in 10. The other 10 are just members of the public who don't know what they're talking about. I don't understand the point. That's all. I don't see the point of Vox Pops. When you're doing an item, let's say you're doing an item, there was a terrible storm where Ted lives and some of the statics were damaged. And they're presenting this and saying there was a terrible storm and some of the... And now let's stick a microphone in front of Mrs. Bucket from Bury, who lives here, and ask her what she thinks of the storm. Oh, it was a terrible storm. Oh, it was so windy. I don't care. I'm sorry, Mrs. Bucket. I'm sorry you had a bad storm, but it's not... I don't care. I just want the information. That's all.
What's new for me there is I've never heard the term vox pops. When you said it, I thought, yeah, that rings a bell, but I don't know that term really.
Oh, well, unless I'm incorrect, it's just a generative term that means interviewing Joe Bloggs on the street. You know, Esther Ranson used to do it with That's Life, you know, taste this sausage and this sausage and tell me which one is the best, you know. But, you know, I want professionals on television, not the public, thank you.
Okie dokie.
That's it. That's better.
I'm going to give a gold star to Plex because on reflecting what I should, if anyone deserved a gold star this week, I thought, sitting there looking at my Plex, and it's just such a brilliant system. It's a superb piece of software. It's transformed the way that I watch TV and consume media. The way it works is that you install Plex on your computer, mm-hmm. and your hard drive on your computer holds whatever stuff that you've got, your MP4 files or whatever it is. And then you tell the whatever the receiving equipment you've got around your television to talk to your computer's hard drive, and it sends the stuff on demand through to your television to watch it. As long as locally it's within range of your computer, obviously, although you can do it remotely as well. I can tune in to... As long as you've got a Wi-Fi connection, I can do it remotely as well. Watch it on my phone from somewhere else. So anything that is on my hard drive by my computer goes to in my case, the Roku stream bar under my telly, and it basically streams the content across my home network from my computer to the Roku stream bar, and then I just watch it on the television. And it just works brilliantly. And the Plex software also organizes all your files. It draws down the information about all the programs, the films. It gives you background information about the actors, and it's just brilliant. And it took me a long time to be convinced about it. Gareth from Tech Addicts and Projector Room was trying to talk me into it for ages, and I was resisting, but I'm so pleased I did. Now it's just brilliant. Well done, Plex, and it's worth in the end, I bought a lifetime subscription, and it was about £75 on a special offer. But you can pay monthly if you want, or not pay at all. You pay extra to get the extra services. You can do it for free. Really, really good. Recommended.
Right. Well, one more before we go, and perhaps saving the best till last, I would like to give a huge and glowing gold star with knobs on, as they say, to Malcolm Bryant.
Hey.
He who you may remember almost years ago now, I was having trouble. I needed a particular clapperboard for my filming that I was doing at the time. And Malcolm was fantastic and got in touch with me and said, what is it you want? I might be able to write you an app. And sure enough, he did. He made me a beautiful clapperboard app, which I'm very sorry to say, due to the demise of my video business, I barely use these days. But while I used it, it was fantastic, and I was so grateful to Malcolm. Well, the same thing happened again. I have a car. I may have told you I have a new car. My car and my phone have to speak to each other, and they do this through Bluetooth tethering, which means on my phone I have to switch on Bluetooth tethering. Every time my phone has been put into do not disturb, or has been gone into battery saver mode, or has been rebooted, Bluetooth tethering switches itself off, and I have to go through 7 or 8 presses to find Bluetooth tethering and switch it back on again. So I moaned about this on PSC a couple of days ago, and once again Malcolm came along saying, oh, I can write you an app for that. And he did, and he's made me a lovely little shortcut app. It's simply an icon on my desktop. I press the icon, and it takes me straight through to Bluetooth tethering. So when the phone irritatingly switches off Bluetooth tethering, I can say, sod you, and turn it back on again in a heartbeat. So, Malcolm, I'm very, very grateful to you, sir. Thank you so much for that. It was a very kindly thing you did, and a happy Christmas to you too.
He's a very clever chap. we quite often reference with Malcolm because he's a developer of Android stuff, and it's really interesting to hear him talk. We get him onto PSE quite often to be the guest because it's just really interesting. So, yes, well done. A well-deserved gold star for Malcolm.
I think we're done. Oh, sorry.
Indeed. Indeed, a chap amongst chaps. I guess we'll be back in a fortnight. I guess that your appointments by the 30th, which is the next scheduled day, will be finished and done, will they?
Yes, I'm running around like a blue-ass fly until the 25th, and then it all stops with a vengeance. Yeah. So, that 30th, I will be huffing and puffing and catching my breath, but I will be back in the room.
Excellent. We'll bring another show to you, lovely people, in a fortnight's time. Whateverworks.works is where you'll find links to all the stuff that we've been talking about today on the show and embedded into your lovely podcatcher. AidanBell.com is for Aidan, TedSalmon.com is for me, where you'll find links to all our lovely MeWe groups and our other audio podcasts from the team and I. So get stuck into that at TedSalmon.com and the MeWe group. That's where we generally scoop up stuff for the show and bring stuff to natter about and bore you senseless each time. Last word to you, Aidan. A kind of Christmassy last word, I suppose.
I have a Christmassy last word. I found something the other day that did make me smile, and apropos of what I was whinging about at the beginning of the show. Listen to this. Christmas is that special time of year when your whole family gathers together in one place to all stare at their phones. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for all your interest over the last 12 months. And we hope you have a lovely festive-y time, if that's what you celebrate. And if you don't, then just ignore us. One last thing to say. As always, don't forget,
whatever works,
works! And a Merry Christmas to everyone! Ho, ho, ho!